What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 105 of the Lukewarm Games Podcast, your source for unique perspectives on all things video games and pop culture. As always, I'm your host, Luke Lewis, and today I'm once again joined by the Game Awards gal of Animal Crossing, Claire Hellenberger.
Woohoo! How's it going, Luke?
It's going really well. How are you?
I am doing well.
I'm doing well as well.
Good.
Did I say it was episode 105 last week, when in fact it was episode 104?
I don't know.
The answer is yes. The answer is yes, I did, but we're course correcting. This is episode 105. Welcome, welcome. We're excited. A little different format today. Normally, we would jump right into We've Got the News, our weekly news segment, where we break down what's happening in the video games industry. And we are doing that. But since we just had the Game Awards, as of recording this, just a few nights ago, there's so much news to unpack from there, whether it's all of the announcements, whether it's unpacking the winners and debating our nominees and declaring who won the pizza bet. So essentially, this is going to be a big We've Got the News episode. We're going to break down what we thought of all the announcements that were shown at the show, discuss our thoughts on the show overall, and also recap our predictions and go over who won the pizza bet.
Let's do it.
The infamous, legendary, some might say, pizza bet. Third annual pizza bet.
Third annual pizza bet.
And just to recap, you won year one, I won year two, best of three. Wasn't some might say.
The other way around?
Pretty sure it was the way I said. But anyway, this is, some might say this is the best of three. This is this is a defining year for this podcast. I think so. Why do you say otherwise?
You just think that because you already know that you've won.
We haven't tallied the votes, in all fairness. Do I have an assumption? Yes. Am I 100% certain? No. So why don't we start there? I think that's the easiest place to start. We're going to go through the categories, discuss the winners, kind of go through, see how it went, give our initial thoughts. All right, Claire. So you have, you're going to tally up.
Yes, I have.
The points as we go. So
that ready.
If we both got it correct, we both get a point. If only one of us got it correct, that one person gets a point. If neither of us got it correct, we don't get any points.
Yes.
Okay. So let's run through here. I have the list. This is coming to us from GameSpot's own Eddie Mudchuck. Thank you, Eddie, for putting together this list that we can refer to. So let's start towards the bottom here and work our way to Game of the Year. We did not vote in the esports categories.
Right.
So we'll start with innovation and accessibility. So, for innovation and accessibility,
I think we both
both said God of War.
Yeah, we both said God of War.
Which won.
And that won, so we both get a
point. Makes a lot of sense. After beating the game, I only stand by that vote more.
Nice.
It was very, it had a lot of nice features.
That's great.
And some in-depth settings, which I appreciated, and I think a lot of folks did for a wide variety of playstyles. So then we have
Best Adaptation,
which went
was
to Arcane.
League of Legends.
We both said that as
and
well.
And we did both say that as well. So that's another point for each of us.
Neck and neck right now.
Indeed.
Okay. Then we have Creator of the Year.
Ludwig.
Which, going to be honest, don't know who that is. We both said Nibelheim.
I was just
Nibelheim didn't win, so unfortunately.
0 points.
So 0 points there. Then we have Most Anticipated Game.
Which,
Breath of the Wild.
Tears of the Kingdom, the Breath of the Wild sequel.
I said that. You said Starfield.
Which
reasonable answer. But reasonable answer for sure. Next up, we have Best Multiplayer, which I was so shocked. Not shocked, because this was my prediction. This is what I predicted, and I wanted to win. But I think the vote was a bit split this year, and I think folks weren't as blown away with Overwatch as they had hoped to be. I think Call of Duty came out and it was fine, but I don't think it lit the world on fire by any means, and I think Splatoon really came through. So I was really excited to see that one. So point for me there. Next up, we're going to
Best Multiplayer went to Splatoon 3. We both said Call of Duty.
No, I didn't. Really? Oh, shoot.
I think you said Splatoon 3 for a different category.
We did talk
about it at length, but that is what,
I really don't think that's right. I know that's what it says on the doc.
Well, I think there was another category where you said Splatoon.
Okay. So well, regardless,
you want to scroll around and find it just to confirm?
No, because that's what it says on the doc. I want to honor what I wrote down.
So neither of us got a point.
I was excited to see Splatoon win, regardless. Best sports and racing. I believe we both got that one. Yeah, because with Gran Turismo 7. Yep. Best sim strategy was Mario plus Rabbids. We both said that as well. This is closer than I actually thought it was. Best family went to Kirby. I said Kirby, you said Splatoon.
That's the one I said Splatoon for.
Okay. How are we doing on points right now?
You are two ahead.
I'm two ahead. Okay. Then best fighting game.
Multiversus.
Went to Multiversus, which we both said Multiversus. Okay. So maintaining that lead. Then we have best role-playing went to Elden Ring. I think we both...
You said Elden Ring, I said Xenoblade.
Point there. Best action adventure.
God of War. Which I said God of War, and you said Tunic. So I get a point there.
Nice. Best action went to Bayonetta 3, so neither of us get points.
Mm-hmm.
I said Sifu, you said Neon White. Bummed to not see Sifu win. You know, Bayonetta, I've heard great things, and no disrespect there, but I was bummed to see old Sifu not get the big one. We have best AR/VR,
which went to Moss,
which we both said. Okay.
Because we love that little mouse. You're still ahead by two.
Okay, mobile game went to Marvel Snap, which we both said. Then community support was Final Fantasy 14. Oh, we both said that. Okay, nice.
I just followed your lead for that because you were more plugged in.
I thought I put best ongoing game, but I think I actually got it right. Okay, cool. Best debut indie
was Stray, which I don't think either of us said.
I got to finish Stray, but come on. Neon White, Tunic, Vampire Survivors. Yeah. I just thought all of those felt like stronger titles to me personally, so that was kind of a surprise. Best
indie overall.
Indie also overall went to Stray. We both said Cult of the Lamb, so nothing there for us.
Stand by that.
Yeah, I do too. Best ongoing game was Final Fantasy. I said Destiny, you said Genshin Impact. Games for Impact, I believe, is next. Went to As Dusk Falls,
which was...
You said A Memoir Blue, and I said Citizen Sleeper.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting one.
Yeah.
Best performance was Christopher Judge from God of War. So stoked. Yeah. Great speech, too, from him. We'll get into
it. I said it would be Man Engaged from Immortality, which I stand by that pick as well,
100%.
I just think fewer people played that game.
Yeah. Best audio design went to God of War. We both said Horizon. I stand by that, too, though. Though after finishing God of War, I would give it to God of War. But prior to that discussion, I do think the 3D audio in Horizon is particularly very good. We did best performance. What are you doing? Best score and music now.
Still God of War.
I said God of War. You said
Xenoblade.
Stand by God of War and their performance too. So good. Then we have art direction went to
Elden Ring.
Sorry, I'm jumping back and forth between documents. So I said Elden Ring, you said God of War. All good. All the nominees in this category were pretty stellar. Best narrative went to
God of War.
I got that one. You said Immortality. Another fair one. This is another year where
I was putting in my plug for the indies. Basically.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Well, and I think in a quieter year when we didn't get God of War and Elden Ring in the same year, I think Immortality would have cleaned up in a really big way, but it did get overshadowed at this particular award ceremony. Yeah. Game direction went to Elden Ring. So I got that one. You guessed Immortality. Once again, very, very reasonable guess. And then finally, Game of the Year went to Elden Ring. Which we both said. So what's our final tally there?
And so then we can get into you got a total of 17 points, and I got a total of 10, which means I owe you a pizza.
I appreciate your efforts, and I congratulate you on a game well played.
Yes, well, handshake, well done.
Handshake.
Good game.
Good game.
GG.
GG's all around. No, that was fun. I think, I feel like this was the year I got the most predictions correct in recent years. It just, I went with my gut, and I went with the mainstream on a lot of answers, and that's what ended up being the case. But overall, what were your thoughts on the winners? Did you feel like it was evenly represented? Did you feel like one game kind of overshadowed others? What ones were you excited about? What ones were you maybe disappointed in?
I think it makes sense that God of War and Elden Ring kind of cleaned up, and that's just the way it is with the Game Awards. And we talked about this when we were talking about the nominations, but just like how, you know, you can talk about Game of the Year, Best Game of the Year, and there are certain teams that have a lot more resources to make that happen than others, and that's just the way it is. But when you're talking about games that are made by very few people that are just absolutely mind-blowing with how good they are. And then we also talked about how not maybe the indie representation wasn't exactly what we had hoped or thought it would be. But yeah, I think that Immortality should have won more than it did. I think it was such a special game. And maybe in a different year or a different sort of competition, that would have been the case. But here we are. But yeah, I think that there were just a lot of really good games this year, so
yeah,
it's definitely not like, oh, God of War, Christopher Judge shouldn't have won Best Performance, man. Like, no, I'm sure that was a stellar performance from what I've seen and heard.
So good.
So I really,
next level.
Yeah, don't begrudge anyone anything. I just, I don't know. Would maybe like to see a little bit more attention given to the indies as always.
Yeah, I think for me too. I think the only thing that, to get into it a little bit, I think this year was arguably the best year of Game Awards in terms of the announcements shown, the games represented overall, and just the general pace of the show. Like, I think Jeff Keighley and his team did a really stellar job putting everything together, and I think he has really listened to a lot of the feedback over the years, and I think this was the best iteration of the show. That being said, my biggest criticism were the categories that were just quickly rattled off,
right,
and those developers weren't really given a moment. Now, I don't know behind the scenes if those developers couldn't be there or if there was something going on logistically where they couldn't have them come up and speak, but categories like Best Art Direction, Best Debut Indie,
Best Family Game. Did we read off that
winner? Well, no, they had Doug Bowser come up and talk about Kirby.
Did we read off that winner for Best Family Game? I don't think we did.
Kirby.
Oh, yeah, that was Kirby. Okay.
Yep. And then Best Indie Game overall, like those categories, I would have loved to see those developers get to speak. And the Stray director did get to speak to that. But like those categories just felt kind of rushed to me. And I would have liked more of an emphasis there. And I don't know if that's like putting a cap on certain speeches, because I know Christopher Judge spoke for quite a while that they weren't really planning on, and things like that, of like that part of the show, I feel still think could use some refinement. But overall, I felt like the games that won, I was excited to see them represented. I thought Elden Ring winning Game of the Year was really well deserved, and it felt representative of the year.
Yeah, definitely. No,
whereas
it makes sense.
Like in past years, I feel like there have been, like, as much as I enjoy It Takes Two, it definitely felt like last year's vote was like so split, in a sense that like some people voted for other games and so that's what ended up pulling ahead. Whereas, like, this one, it feels like it was almost a unanimous thing.
It makes
thing
sense that Elden Ring won this year. And last year, we were just like, huh, It Takes Two, really? So I feel like this is not that.
Yeah, and I just feel like when we look back on this year in 10 years of Game Awards, like, we'll be like, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense for that year and that time and that place. And that was the game that really pushed the industry forward in unique ways. But
I
agree.
Definitely.
I would just like to see more attention to the indies, and I will say, I think when we get into the game announcements, that there were some really notable indie games shown off, whether they be in the pre-show or the post, or not post-show, but, you know, during the main stage show. But yeah, overall, pleased with the games that were represented, and excited to see the show keep evolving over time.
It's definitely exciting how big it's gotten. I know it's a real passion project of Jeff Keighley, so the fact that he's made it to what it is now is really impressive.
For sure.
But
not to Sorry, I was just going to ask a follow-up. Go ahead and finish your thought.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, and not to foreshadow our Game of the Year coverage, because obviously we have that coming in a couple weeks, but if you could give one game, say, your honorable mention, I feel like this was underappreciated amidst the game awards, and it, one of these nominees, what would you shout out
for folks? Are you saying shout out someone who was nominated but didn't win, or shout out someone who wasn't even nominated, or any of the above?
I interpret the question either way. I think my intention was pick a nominee that you feel like deserved your, you would like to give your personal nod to.
I think that
your Claire Game Awards pick.
It got, it got, I'm not going to say this is my game of the year or anything, but it got nominated. This is just the game
that
you want to
put on folks' radars that maybe didn't win their given category.
Didn't win any categories, and it didn't seem like it was really maybe in the running some of the time, but I really think Immortality is a very special game.
100%.
Also, like, I really enjoyed The Quarry. Yeah. And that dead, it wasn't nominated for anything, but the performances were fun, and it was a really cool game, so.
Yeah, I respect that. I think my immediate two would be Sifu, first of all, mm-hmm. and Neon White.
Yeah, definitely.
Just both incredible games. Some of the most fun I've had in a game in years. The gameplay is so tight, so fun, and so addicting, and just I lost track of time playing both those games. So those two for me are ones that, like, if you've played Elden Ring, if you play God of War, and you're wondering what you should check out over the holidays, like, play Sifu, play Neon White, and play the games you mentioned, The Quarry and Immortality as well.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Honestly, check out all these nominees. Like, the nominees were, it was cool to see this group of games nominated, but in a year with so many amazing indies, especially, it's like, there's too many to have them win properly. Right. But I think they can at least be nominated, and I think we can see, I honestly was thinking as we were watching the awards, like, what's stopping them from nominating 10 indies? Or 8 indies, or Game of the Year has more nominees. Like, the Oscars at one point had Best Picture is like 8 or 9 or 10 films.
Yeah.
Like, why not? Let's tack on a couple more just to feel like we have that equal representation, I feel like.
I also, like, part of me almost feels like I would like a separate event that is, like, all of these categories, but just within the indie sphere, because, yeah, there's just a lot of maybe that's just me being biased towards indie games.
an award ceremony that I really do enjoy following is the DICE Awards every year, because that is developer voted, and that one just feels more authentic and true to, like, innovation. To the process. Yeah, like, they voted to have Untitled Goose Game win their Game of the Year back when that came out in 2019, which was a very interesting choice, but it's like, it's just cool to me to see what resonates with game developers and what's inspiring them and what ideas they're taking back to their studio and that sort of thing. So, like,
I will say
that's
that
where I see a lot of cool indie representation amidst the award scene is in at DICE specifically.
I will say that this year, in thinking about, like, truly special gaming experiences and what that looks like for this year, my brain kept going back to one game from last year and trying to think, like, what is a game that resonated as much as this game? And I haven't been able to think of one. And so I just want to give a special retrospective shout out to Before Your Eyes, because that game is just so fucking special.
It's a good one.
That, like, it just, I think that game is going to stick with me forever in, like, a really big way. And if you haven't played it yet, you definitely should, because I think that it, honestly, Game of the Year 2023, 2020, whatever, because it is so good. So
A great game. Highly,
definitely
highly respect it.
If we're talking about, like, the show overall and our overall impressions, I just want to kind of elaborate on what you were just saying about the, like, the pacing of the show and the structure, because I definitely feel like I totally agree with what you said about how every single category should be like fully blown out to the point where when they say, and the winner of this category is, and then they have, like, a full moment to actually, like, applaud, and the person comes on the stage, even if they're only allowed to speak for, like, 1 or 2 minutes, but just, like, rattling them off in rapid succession so quickly the audience can't even clap for a full round of applause in between, not even, like, camera panning to their faces, some awards get read off before the show even starts. It just feels like it takes the focus of the Game Awards away from the games themselves and the people who made them. And I feel like that's what we ought to be celebrating. And I get that there were, that it's already really long and there are a lot of cool announcements. And I get all of that, but I feel like there's got to be a way where we can prioritize the highlighting the developers and the people who made it happen, because it's so, like, that's what we're here for. And there were so many great announcements. Like, we can talk about that too. There, it was so hype, start to finish. There were so many awesome announcements. It was honestly like the best showcase of the year, even though it's not really a showcase, but.
It definitely is.
But it's better than any of the showcases that we've seen so far this year by, like, a lot. But I also just, I think that that shouldn't come at the expense of highlighting the games of this year, because it is supposed to be about the games that came out this year and the ones that were really great and celebrating those. So
yeah, there's got to be a way. 100%.
And maybe it just looks like being more picky about which announcements happen here and which ones get pushed to a different event. But
I will say, so I think that's a good segue into talking specifically about the announcements and our impressions there, but I think Jeff and his team did a really good job this year about maintaining the quality of all the announcements and maintaining the pace, in that I thought every announcement shown was very compelling and very interesting. And whether it's a game I'm 100% going to play, I thought the level of quality across every game shown was just really impressive. And I think we got a couple announcements that were such genuine surprises to me that just got me super excited, like E3 levels of excitement. So I kind of want to start there, of just amidst all these games, what was your Gatorade get hyped moment?
Yeah.
I can't believe they're announcing this here, because I had like four or five. I'm going to be honest that I just, you know, we made our predictions. We didn't specifically predict what we thought would be announced, but none of this, almost none of what we got would have been what I expected.
Yeah, for sure. For me.
So yeah, you go first and then I'll tell mine.
Right off the fucking bat, I was like, okay, how, the show is just not going to get more hype than this. It possibly physically cannot. And when they announced Hades 2,
I flipped the fuck out.
And it looks so good, and I was just like, fuck, I guess I gotta just replay Hades now, because like, fuck, oh my god, I'm so excited.
Well, and what an absolute shadow drop of,
I know,
as,
right?
As they started the show, Jeff Keighley made the point, he was like, we had no leaks, and it was just like, you had no leaks, holy shit. Like, and when we saw Hades 2, he made an offhand comment afterwards that was like, and we've got more to come. And it's like, so you have bigger announcements than Hades 2 right now. And I would argue that's honestly true.
Yeah.
Depending on
most people.
I think depending on what your type of game is, but like.
But for me, like, my type of, like, Hades is one of my favorite games ever. So when they announced it, I was just like, fuck.
Yeah. So I was hyped as heck for Hades as well, to be completely honest. Like, I didn't expect to see that when I saw the Supergiant games. I also just didn't necessarily expect them to do a sequel, just because traditionally they've always done a new IP and tried something new. But I think Hades really struck a chord with folks, and so I'm really excited to see what happens with this one. I like the story setup. I like how you're playing as a female protagonist. You're fighting, I forget the villain's name, but his shtick is time. So there's going to be like time manipulation and crazy shit. So you can only like, I get very excited speculating about what those boss fights are going to look like and what different mechanics you'll encounter. And
yeah. Really
the same
interesting
amazing
how
art style and music and
different gods to interact with.
Yes. There's some new folks happening. And so but it also, like, we saw Apollo, we saw like some familiar
Nemesis,
folks too. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting, and it'll be cool to see how they play on that. My get hype, I had two.
Okay, what were your two?
Mine was Death Stranding 2.
Yeah.
Because I just, of any game I've ever played, I would never expect to get a sequel to Death Stranding.
Mm-hmm.
It just screams weird one-off thing that happened.
Right.
And we move on. But I love that we're getting a sequel, and I think it's very interesting, and
it's,
it makes me want to go back and finish the game, because I didn't. I played quite a bit of it, maybe 30 or 40 hours. Amidst the pandemic, for some reason, that game was very cathartic to me. The I got very addicted to the gameplay loop of delivering packages and just found it very, like, relaxing and therapeutic. So I'm excited that they're making a sequel, and seeing Kojima on stage was hype. And
yeah,
we expected to see Kojima in some shape or form just because he is very close to Jeff. But I didn't expect Death Stranding 2, of all things. So that was mine. And then my other one was seeing Armored Core from Software. I can't say I'm a big Armor Core fan, but at this point I am a big FromSoft fan, and I do look forward to their new projects.
Mm-hmm.
And having them return to Armor Core, which is a long dormant franchise that they originally worked on, has been something that folks have requested since the Demon Souls original Dark Souls days. So this has been, like, long a topic of conversation.
Yeah, and I didn't have any of that context when the trailer started.
Sure.
So it was really interesting to hear you explain all of that afterwards.
Well, and to see how...
Everyone was so hyped in the crowd about it, though.
Yeah, to see how visually impressive it looks, to see how Jeff got emotional leading into the trailer, introducing it, just being like, he was so thankful that From Software trusted him with that reveal. Yeah, the game looks freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming off of Elden Ring, I'm stoked to see anything that From Software is working on, and I love that we're totally changing gears to this futuristic mech game from, you know, their previous work. And we've heard, like, light gameplay confirmation that there is going to be, you know, open world exploration, that sort of thing. So I'm just really interested to see what they do with this totally different world and arguably gameplay style.
Yeah.
So those were mine. But, like, countless others, and this is a bit out of order. We're pulling from Adam Bankhurst's breakdown over at IGN and a great run through of the different games and information about them.
I think he put it in order of what he's most hyped about.
I respect it. We saw Ken Levine's next game, Ghost Story Games. The title is Judas. This game looked shockingly similar to BioShock. Yeah. Upon first glance, which I thought was
Bioshockingly similar.
I'm conflicted. There's been a lot of reports that have come out over the years that Ken Levine is just not a great dude to work for. And, you know, it clouds it for me of, like, it's hard to get excited about something, even though he created BioShock and BioShock Infinite, two of my favorite games that I really love. Visually, I think this trailer is very cool. It's very interesting. It's, like, hearkening back to things I loved about BioShock while bringing in this, like, color pop art style of kind of Deathloop, I would say, like, over the top. So I'm definitely interested to see more of it. But this kind of just, however you feel about the game, it illustrates the level of announcements that we were getting at this show.
Yeah.
Like, we got this announcement and Hades 2 quite early in the show.
Right.
And then we also didn't talk about, we talked about Death Stranding 2 a little bit, but, like, seeing though, just having those, like, one of those games to me is enough to be like, wow, that was a hype E3 press conference, but we got all of them here. So that's what was particularly
really
striking
stunning,
to me. What other ones stood out to you? Here, pull up, there's a list view where we can see them all.
Well, I think there are some that are like, this is a known property that I'm really excited for to see more of.
Sure.
It was exciting to see.
We also got a lot of release
Jedi
dates.
Survivor.
Yeah, that looked really
and
good.
And the Suicide Squad
Kill the Justice League. Yeah.
Trailer was really interesting.
And that was a nice moment to honor Kevin Conroy, where they showed the clip of Batman and announced that he is, in fact, reprising the role one last time because he recorded it before his very unfortunate passing.
Yeah.
So that was a really cool moment just to honor him and say thank you, Kevin, on the screen. And
Got
a little emotional on my end.
Yeah.
But we didn't have that release date either. So getting that, I believe it's May 26th.
Mm.
So, yeah, we got a ton of release dates in the show, which was very cool.
A lot. But there were also some games that I was, like, not aware of or we hadn't seen much of yet.
Yeah.
That just got, like, way more hype for.
Sure.
Like, the new Dune game.
That MMO looks really interesting. Visually, it looked really impressive. And as far as, like, worlds to get lost in within an MMO, like, Dune is pretty freaking compelling. So that's a pretty cool idea for an
Definitely.
MMO.
Definitely. I've never been into Baldur's Gate, but that was a hype trailer.
Yeah, the new one looks really good.
Party Animals looks really fun.
I've been watching Let's Plays of Party Animals for 2+ years, and mm-hmm. I want to play it. I'm so excited, but it is amazing that we're still
yes
on this hype train for Party Animals.
There was After Us, which kind of gave me like Secret of Kells vibes.
Yeah, it looks interesting.
I hadn't heard about that game.
Yeah.
So I am super. I think that's my favorite like game that I had heard nothing about, nothing about going in.
Sure.
And now I'm like really excited for. So yeah, those were the major ones for me. There also was the I think it was more of an ad than it was an it wasn't an announcement, it was an ad. But the Fall Guys ad got me really hyped for Fall Guys. They were like, go and get the free costume
for
and
sure.
unlock these free things. And I was like, shit, am I gonna play Fall Guys now? Because I really,
always a good time.
Really can't. But and then we also got to see the Super Mario movie more extended.
Yeah,
trailer.
What did you think of that clip?
That was it was an interesting
I don't think
clip.
We've talked about the most or no, we did talk about the most
we
recent trailer
about it,
on the
yeah.
pod. Yeah.
It was interesting to hear Mario's voice more fully.
Where are you at with it? Yeah, I didn't really either, to be honest. The movie just is visually so fun, and I think they're just nailing the vibe. Like,
yeah.
I didn't really understand how nostalgic and into it I would be just hearing the music cues and seeing everything on screen, but it's like really hitting, and the movie I honestly think it looks really good.
I think it looks really fun. I think it's gonna play on our expectations in an interesting way, like how they were navigating the city by using the like rotating platforms and
yeah.
stuff and the pipes and the guy carrying around the cheap in a bag like it was a freaking
yeah that was funny.
That was funny. So yeah, I think for me the most jarring thing is going to be Bowser's speaking animation, because in all the trailers where he's spoken, my brain is just like, what? Because I'm so used to him just like open and closing mouth like a Muppet, like ma 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 ma,
sure,
and then having to like having like the rah 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 where you read the subtitles, like that's just how my brain processes Bowser.
Yep.
And I know that that's true for the other characters, too, but specifically with Bowser, it seems to be causing a lot of cognitive dissonance.
Sure.
There was also a little bit of hate on the internet. There was like, oh, they're trying to make Princess Peach look like a badass, even though she was just wearing her Mario Kart outfit. So that's always fun to see people get upset on the internet for
it's
stupid
so dumb.
Reasons.
She looks like a badass. She's great. But I like Anya Taylor-Joy's like portrayal so far
yeah.
of what we've seen in the trailers. It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited.
What did you think about the trailer? Do you have any additional thoughts about it?
I don't think not much more to say than everything. Every time I see more of the movie, I'm more interested
yeah.
than I was before. So it was like very tepid, you know, kind of afraid to be excited. Saw the first trailer, pretty hyped. Saw mm-hmm. the second trailer, really hyped. Saw this clip. Still maintaining that level.
Yes.
So I'm excited to see it in April, I believe. So that'll be right around
right
my
on.
Birthday. That'll be a
yeah,
fun one.
Birthday treat.
Another, I want to double back. We talked about Jedi Survivor a little bit. But I just wanted to double back on this one. Coming out in March, very exciting, March 17th. And I just really liked all the location verticality and the set pieces. It really just looks
yeah.
like they took everything that was great about the first game and are expanding upon it, are tightening it up, and are making a really compelling story once again. So super excited to jump back into that world.
Definitely.
And I just feel like coming right off of Andor, like I'm hungry for
yes.
a new Star Wars game. So
and that was a really great trailer.
Yeah. So it's fun to be, it's just fun. I love Star Wars, but it's fun to be like genuinely really hyped about Star Wars because it's objectively good and it's okay to enjoy it. Because at this point, like, hater's gonna hate. I'll enjoy what I want about Star
yeah,
Wars,
definitely.
But like coming off of Andor, I'm just like very excited about the future of the franchise as a whole. So excited to continue it with what I'm sure will be a quality game.
Yeah, absolutely.
We also saw cool trailer for Diablo 4 with
a
release
trailer.
Date for June, as well as a release date for Street Fighter 6 coming June 2nd. So that week will be a very exciting
yes.
week of games between Street Fighter and Diablo.
That week of June, and then there was also a week in March where a bunch
mm-hmm.
of stuff is releasing.
Yeah, like all the announcements were pretty cool and interesting. I'm really excited for Earthblade.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next game from the makers of Celeste. This was shown in the pre-show, but the Hellboy game that they showed looked incredibly cool. It's said to be a roguelike action game. Has an original story. It's coming to PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC.
Yeah.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of the first time we saw the Sifu trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of, like, behind-the-shoulder action combat. You're, like, dodging and parrying, and it's, like,
very deliberate
punches, and, like, the scale of everything just looked really cool.
It looked like it felt satisfying to play.
Like, yeah, there's some weight to the combat, which is really neat.
We haven't talked about this yet, but the Bayonetta prequel game that looks, like, so different.
The Origins.
Bayonetta games.
So it's kind of a spin-off title.
That looks kind of cool.
You'll control both a young version of Bayonetta's Syriza and Cheshire.
Like the cat?
Sorry, I haven't played a Bayonetta game before, so apologies, Bayonetta fans out there. I want to. They're definitely have been on my radar for a long time, and 3 looks really good. Just started to catch up. Especially with sequels, sure. If you've missed the other games and then the new one comes out and you jump back to the old one, but then by the time you finish it, you have to move on to...
Right. Well, then there's also a bit of a...
First world problems.
Controversy when that one came out, too, that I think maybe...
The third game with the voice actor stuff? Yeah. That was a bummer to hear. Ultimately, I think, you know, the game can kind of speak for itself. And itself. We didn't talk about the PlayStation PC ports, which is pretty cool.
That is cool.
Last of Us Part 1 and Returnal are both set to come to PC in early 2023. I don't think there's anything bad about more people getting to play great games. Nope. And I think these games will run really well on PC. And I'm hoping to get an ultra-wide monitor at some point in 2023. So playing these games on that in my office would be pretty sick.
Yeah.
So no complaints there. We didn't talk about... There's a couple things we didn't talk about. Crash Bandicoot, Forspoken. Forspoken looks pretty cool. I have tempered expectations, I feel like. I'm not expecting, like, the world of that game, but I'm excited to see what's up. There's a demo available right now on PlayStation Network, so at some point I'll probably give that a play and see what I think.
Yeah, definitely. Another one we haven't talked about is this interesting Banishers Ghosts of New Eden, where it's like a cinematic trailer.
Oh yeah, this is from the studio who was a ghost. This is ghost from Hunters. Don't Nod, the studio that made Vampire
and also Life is Strange.
Well, not this dev team.
Oh, okay.
Same publisher,
right?
There it's a Naughty Dog situation where
I thought that he said when he was announcing it that it was had maybe it was just publisher's Life is Strange, but he says something about Life is Strange, so I don't know.
No, what I'm saying, it's the same dev, but it's there's like A team, B team,
gotcha.
Or team. I don't want to talk about quality, you know, they're both good developers for different reasons, but team one, team two,
right.
One team did Life is Strange, True Colors, and then the other team is working on this title.
Gotcha. Well, so, it looks very cool.
Yeah, it looks cool, but all I was getting at with the other team thing is that this team previously worked on the game Vampire, which was more of an action RPG, choice-based narrative game where you're going around as a vampire, killing people, making dialogue choices, doing your thing. Interesting title. Didn't particularly click with me.
Fair enough.
The gameplay felt a little clunky, but I thought the world building and like the surrounding narrative was really interesting. So I'm curious to check this game out. It looked cool.
Yeah, I think that this is early enough in the development process that I think we're going to see more.
I don't know.
I'm optimistic that it will look less clunky by the time it comes out. So
I think that's fair. One I wanted to talk about that we didn't talk about was Transformers Reactivate, which is an online action game developed by Splash Damage.
Interesting.
Until the last 5 seconds of the trailer, I had no idea it was a Transformers game. It just shows like some marine folks hanging out, assembling mechs. And then right at the end, you get a shot where it's obviously Bumblebee's hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea what it is. Interested to see it. I enjoy Transformers.
Yeah, definitely. That one kind of went over my head, too, until the very end. There was another game that they showed a trailer of that I'm not... I think it was the Marine... The Warhammer
40K.
Yeah. And I honestly thought that was a Transformers game.
That's funny.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, there were a couple other ones we saw. Replaced, which I feel like is another game we've been seeing for years, but it was nice to see that one come back in a new form. 2D side-scroller, Metroidvania-style game with a really unique art style.
Yeah.
Yes, excited to check that one out.
There was also the really interesting trailer for the Dead Cells Castlevania crossover, and it was like the animated trailer.
Did that start the show, or was that in the pre-show? I think that was in the pre-show.
I do not remember.
No, it kicked things off. It kicked things off, I'm pretty sure. But
it was early.
What a hype trailer. So this will be a DLC that'll add 14 new weapons, 2 new biomes, a new storyline, 3 bosses, and 20 outfits. Oh, and over 50 original and reimagined Castlevania musical tracks.
Fucking that sounds dope for people who so like hype. Dead Cells.
I love
really cool.
Dead Cells. I would love an excuse. Though, I will say, they have been very good about supporting that game in the subsequent years since it came out in 2018. There's been a lot of reason to play the content.
Yeah, definitely. Wild Hearts had a pretty cool trailer. I'm not sure it's a game I'll check out.
The art
out,
style
but
was pretty interesting.
Yeah. I think we've already touched on pretty much everything. The Among Us Hide and Seek sounded fun.
That might be fun. I thought what they showed of Horizon Call of the Mountain looked cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a tough sell right now with VR of the investment.
Right.
The barrier to entry is pretty darn steep. And that's from me, someone who, you know, we own all 3 consoles. We seek out new gaming experiences. I bought a Steam Deck when I very much didn't need a Steam Deck just because I enjoy experiencing games in a variety of ways, and even I think the PlayStation VR 2 is a bit
out of reach.
Steep.
Yeah.
Granted, will I feel differently in a year or so if Sony really supports it with software and there really are many quality game experiences? Possibly, maybe. But for the now that's where I'm at. Also, let's talk about the game that has sucked up too much time since the Game Awards of my life. Vampire Survivors is now on mobile. Very dangerous.
Yes.
Very dangerous. And now I can play it on console, on my Steam Deck, on my phone. Go play Vampire Survivors, everybody. Make sure you have like a free hour before you jump in, because you will be sucked in, but very, very fun. And it plays well on the phone. I was pretty impressed.
Nice. That's awesome.
Oh, can we talk about, scroll back down, sorry, on this article. Can we talk about Crime Boss for a second? This is a really wild thing. So Crime Boss Rockaway City announced with cast including Chuck Norris, Danny Trejo, and Vanilla Ice. What? I'm sorry. This game, in Adam Bankhurst's write-up, this game looks to be a stealth action FPS that tasks players with becoming leaders of a criminal underworld in a fictional version of 1990s Florida. What? Michael Rooker was also shown in this trailer. Danny Glover is in this trailer. Kim Basinger. This is like a wild... When they showed this trailer, I was like, this is a... It feels like a meme. But like, all these folks are great actors, you know? I'm not like scoffing at it. But it was just a very interesting trailer that kind of gave me like Godfather 2 or like Miami Vice. Obviously, Vice City vibes. So interested to see what the heck is going on there.
Yeah, definitely.
I think the only things we didn't talk about, we got Horizon DLC with Forbidden West Burning Shores. That looked very
cool. In LA.
In LA. Yeah, I gotta finish Horizon. Because I really liked it at the time, but I just fell off of it once Elden Ring came out, and I just never went back. We also got Crash Team Rumble, which I was really bummed. I thought we were going to get a Crash 5 or like a proper platformer. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm like not opposed to more Crash experiences. Tim Geddes on the Kind of Funny stream pointed out that it was interesting and kind of cool that they went with the Crash Team branding, like Crash Team Racing. So kind of cool to see that maybe they'll use the IP in different ways. Uh-huh. And it is cool to see Toys for Bob, the studio that we thought was kind of shuttered to work on other stuff, actually getting to develop a Crash game.
Mm-hmm.
So... Because Crash 4 was really freaking good.
Yeah.
It was a great game. And I don't think enough people talk about it, frankly.
That's fair.
Did we talk about Idris Elba and Cyberpunk?
No, we did not.
That's pretty cool.
I knew we were forgetting something.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've been on the precipice of finally jumping back into Cyberpunk because I haven't touched it since launch. But with this upcoming Phantom Liberty DLC, with Idris Elba joining the cast, supposedly the game runs a lot better. Everyone's hot and bothered with Cyberpunk in general after Edgerunners. It might be the time soon. Mm-hmm. And I've heard it runs quite well on Steam Deck. So once again, might be the time soon.
Right on. I think
that's
it.
What am I forgetting? I feel like
I don't know.
There was just so much.
Yeah.
So many things. But I think we touched on pretty much everything. Just glancing through Warhammer Space Marine 2.
One that I thought
for Warhammer Space Marine 1 was quite fun, actually. Oh, I was really excited to see Valiant Hearts mm-hmm. coming home. Adored that art style, adored that game. So cool to see more with that. Colossal Cave, it was fun to see that game highlighted. That's the one from, oh geez, Roberta and Ken. Couldn't remember her husband's name for a hot second there. But these folks were at PAX. We weren't able to attend the demo to... We had to reschedule it, and then it didn't work out for us to go, so we had to cancel in advance, but we didn't get to see the game. But they are the pioneers of Sierra Entertainment and original adventure games, and mm-hmm. so they have this awesome-looking VR game, Colossal Cave, coming out, so it was cool to see.
It looks cool.
They also got to present an award at the show, and it was really cool to see. Like, that's the kind of stuff I really hope the Game Awards does more of.
Yeah.
Highlight amazing folks in the industry and get yeah. them on the stage. And it was cool to see. I think he did a pretty good job this year with the presenters overall. Like, it was cool to see Rahul Kohli present. I absolutely adored that they had Bella Ramsey, Pedro Pascal,
yeah,
and
that was a cool
Ashley
moment.
Johnson and Troy Baker come out and read a nomination category together as the cast of The Last of Us. Like, that was really, really
that
hype.
Was fun.
We also didn't talk about, what did you think of the Game Awards orchestra and the music?
That was really special performance. That's always my favorite part.
For sure.
Of the Game Awards, being a music dork. I also really liked the God of War with Hozier
yeah.
and the choir.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That, and they had, like, that set was gorgeous. They clearly just put so much time and love into that moment, and it was so good. It was so good.
Yeah.
So yeah, both of those moments were really, really cool. And I always love the arrangement and how they managed to tie all of the game themes together into, like, one coherent sounding medley.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And it's like always just like the driving drum beat, and they line it up with the music, and it's just really cool.
And then Jeff announced that they'll be doing a tour, or not a tour, I'm sorry, but a concert performance at the Hollywood Bowl with the Game Awards Orchestra, and they're calling it like an evening with the Game Awards Orchestra, and they'll do like a fully featured evening performance, and that sounds super cool.
Yeah, that orchestra.
Shout out to Flute Guy.
Yes.
followed him on Twitter. His name is, I believe, Pedro. What a cool dude. What an amazing musician. He's going to tour with Hans Zimmer.
That's awesome.
Like, but yeah, an incredible musician, just really, yeah. really passionate, and
I always
enjoyed the crap out of what he was doing, which you'll love to
yes.
see.
Yes, I love watching that group because every single one of those musicians is just so into it all of the time.
Oh, yeah.
They all look like they're having the time of their lives, and it's just like, it's so cool, and
but
you really feel
but they're also, like, crazy professional musicians.
Right.
You know, just amazing yeah. at what they do, and yeah, as someone who, like, I think at a very lower level for me, like, I went to music conservatory, you did too, you know, I played in these, what at the time were high level groups. It's cool to see these folks that have taken it even further in their career and, like, gone
yeah,
crazy
definitely.
With it. And, like, I really, it makes me respect what they do to an nth degree. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
absolutely. I know how hard it is, and I get it. So
for sure.
That was really hype. I feel like we have to address the elephant in the room, the unpleasant thing in the room, and just basically voice how we don't support it as a show, but there was a random kid who snuck his way on stage with the Elden Ring dev team when they were accepting their Game of the Year award, and he grabbed the mic right at the end and made some statement about dedicating the award to his Orthodox rabbi, Bill Clinton, and he was wearing Yeezys, and it's later come out that just another bad person seeking attention, shit poster on the internet, making anti-Semitic comments, trying to gain attention. And you hate to see it. And it was just such a bummer. And it put such a damper on the last moment of what was otherwise a really well done, well paced show. And so I just wanted to voice my disdain and my fear. And I just felt a lot of anxiety after it, to be honest. Yes. I just felt really bad.
It's heart wrenching to see anytime there's a celebration that's supposed to be full of love and joy and mutual respect to be reminded of the vileness and bigotry that exists and even like thrives out there on the very internet that we use to celebrate our
at an event that is about celebrating the positivity of video games. And it's just about spreading good vibes. And I think the show did that. And I just wanted to say, like, fuck that.
I think that
anti-Semitic folks and comments have no place on our show or on anyone's show or any platform, and you hate to see it, and I don't stand with it at all.
No, absolutely not. And I think that we're living in a time right now where there are a lot of people out there with bigoted views who are being told by other people with bigoted views in positions of power that they are valid and that their opinions are valid when they are super not, because they're bigoted. Yeah. And then there's like the element of, you know, cancel culture and people saying like, no, that's actually super not valid to be a bigoted asshole. Like, right. Stop doing that.
It's just, and they're just
like,
up cycle.
And they're just like, cancel culture, meh. And then, so there's this whole element, whole group of people out there who are just like, I can do and say what I want and just like intent to harm people.
Right.
And just like total warped mindset from reality. And it just...
And with this particular individual too, there were several reporters that ended up interviewing, and the general consensus was he needs some mental help, and he's not in a good place, you know. And so I hope he gets the help that he needs, and it was a bummer.
Yes,
it was not good.
Yes, and hope that he gets the help that he needs, and also hope that he chooses to take accountability for his actions and choose to be a better person.
Yeah, unfortunately it doesn't seem like it, based on what I was briefly reading. It's not the first time he's tried to do something of this nature, so you know, stay safe, everyone. I think the positive thing to take away from this is that it wasn't worse.
Right.
You know, my immediate takeaway after the fact was, wow.
What if it had been worse?
What if it had been someone who actually meant to cause physical harm and do something really bad and not just get internet memeability attention to their cause, but do something really harmful.
Right.
So I'm glad everyone is physically okay. And you know, I hope, my one hope is that I hope this doesn't cause the public to not be allowed at the Game Awards. I hope there's just a stricter process for security and safety checks and getting on stage and things like that. But like, I do think the energy in the room at the award show was palpable, and it was really cool to see those fans in the room. And I've heard industry folks that were there thought it was really amazing to be in that space and like,
absolutely,
see the announcements and experience everything together. So I hope that this, you know, one bad seed doesn't ruin it for everyone else. But also I want to make sure everyone stays safe. And you know, definitely, if that means not opening it to the public, you got to do what you got to do. But
yeah, definitely,
neither here nor there.
I think at the end of the day, we just have to keep trying to spread positivity and compassion and empathy and a broad worldview that includes everyone.
Yeah.
And try to not ignore bigotry, but counter it when we can. And if we all try to make the world a little bit of a better place, maybe one day we'll get there.
So. 100%. Looping it back, closing the Game Awards discussion on a more positive note. Claire, if you were going to pick one of these game announcements to name as your most anticipated title announced, what would you pick?
I already did that. It's Hades 2. What about you?
Done. it's tough because, like, I want to play almost all of them. I'm going to choose if I could pick one to immediately play it right now.
Yeah, what would you play right now?
I would go with
Hades 2.
It's hard not to pick Hades 2, but just for something, I think I would pick Hades 2 as my own personal answer, but for the sake of switching it up, I think I would say Armored Core, because I'm just so curious what the heck is going on there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just such a question mark and a departure from their recent titles. And I just think the one thing I really love about From Software more than anything else is just unpacking their games and the conversation surrounding their games and, like, figuring out the world and finding lore and just, like, exploring and experiencing such a new experience.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I would go with that one for the moment. But, nice. You know, obviously very excited for Jedi Survivor.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League as a huge DC fan. The list goes on.
It was a very cool trailer.
Yeah, 100%.
Right on.
All right, shall we move into our closing segment with Questions with Claire?
Let's do it.
What do we got?
So, this week's question. Looking back at game awards of the past, and including this year too, what is your favorite Game of the Year nominee that didn't win?
I love that. So, looking up our list here, the Game Awards officially started in 2014. You know, it might be kind of fun if we pick one for each year.
And then we pick one overall?
Well, sure.
Well, let's just read them.
So, like, for example, 2014 was, the winner was Dragon Age Inquisition. Other nominees were Bayonetta 2, Dark Souls 2, Hearthstone, and Middle Earth Shadow of War. Some would argue a weaker year
overall. I haven't played any of those games, so I cannot speak to that
year. I've played most of them. I think Bayonetta 2 is the only one I didn't play at the time. Of these nominees, I would have gone Middle Earth
Shadow of Mordor.
That's kind of more of a personal preference. From what I've heard from folks, I think Bayonetta 2 is actually the best game on this mm-hmm. list. So that's my two cents. 2015, the winner was Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, with fellow nominees Bloodborne, Fallout 4, Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain, and Super Mario Maker.
Much more.
I love that list of games, though.
I think it would be Fallout 4 for me. But Bloodborne and Metal Gear Solid are both strong contenders, too.
I think it might be Metal Gear for me. I just dug that open world mm-hmm. so much. But Witcher 3 is incredible. I like this list of games, and I feel like this is a cool representation of that year. Next up, we have 2016, with winner being Overwatch. Doom, Inside, Titanfall 2, and Uncharted 4, A Thief's End. I think as far as, like, time and place, what makes sense for the year, what represents the industry, I think Overwatch makes a lot of sense. My personal one would have been Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
I also think runner-up Doom.
Yeah.
2016 is amazing.
I know you so well.
Titanfall 2 is really good, too.
Then we have 2017 Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, with runners-up Horizon Zero Dawn, Persona 5, PUBG, and Super Mario Odyssey. That's a fucking stacked year.
That was a crazy year.
Horizon? Persona 5? Mario? Not PUBG.
And
that one didn't really stand the test of time.
I think Breath of the Wild was the clear choice in this year, but I think in terms of standing the test of time, I think Persona 5, honestly, like...
Mm-hmm.
The number of past conversations and the love Persona 5 Royal got. I obviously haven't beaten the game, but that one has really resonated with me and a lot of other folks. So I would throw up Persona 5, probably.
2018 was a stacked year, too. God of War 1, but then there was Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
I argue 2018 is, like, one of the best years in gaming.
Monster Hunter World and Red Dead 2.
So God of War 1, which I stand by, I would have gone Spider-Man. That was my game of the year personally for that year. Most fun I've had with a video game, arguably since.
Right.
Like, just jumping into that game, we got the Spider-Man bundle, adored it. Played until 4 in the morning while we were visiting my parents that first weekend the game came out, and I never do that. Even in high school, when I had the time to do that, I didn't really do that. You know what I mean? Like, that game just had its hooks in me. So that would be mine.
And then 2019, Sekiro. Wait. Won.
What about you?
Yeah, definitely. I think Red Dead 2 is a strong contender, too. So probably.
Yeah, Red Dead 2 is very
either
good.
Of those.
100%.
Then we had Sekiro 1 in 2019, Control, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, and The Outer Worlds were all runners up.
I forget about the Outer Worlds. Outer Worlds was really good. Yeah. That's a good game.
I think I would say Death Stranding for this category.
I'd go Resident Evil 2. That was my game of the year that year.
The next year was Last of Us Part 2, which we don't need to tell you folks at home. We would both stand by.
If we didn't pick
Animal Crossing, Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy VII Remake. That was also a great year. Ghost of Tsushima and Hades. I think Hades, but also Final Fantasy.
Amidst the horrible pandemic and social injustices.
A good year, asterisk, four games.
And we said that a lot when we first started the podcast that year. But yeah, that was a really good year for games in hindsight.
Last year, it was It Takes Two.
Wait. We didn't pick.
I said mine. What are yours?
What was yours?
I said Hades, but also Final Fantasy was really good.
I think I would go Final Fantasy VII Remake. I just adored that game so much. Really, really made me fall in love with the series.
And then we have It Takes Two, which we don't stand by.
It's a great game. Franchise. I don't want to say we don't stand by because that sounds harsher than
we stand by the game. We just don't think it was the best.
I was surprised. Yeah. I would put it that way that one ended up winning.
Deathloop, Metroid Dread, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, and Resident Evil Village were all also nominated, and those are all really great games.
I personally think Psychonauts 2 is the best game on that list. We gave it our overall game of the year when voting with Jacob and Joseph. That's my personal preference.
And then there was this year. So of all of those nominees who didn't win, which do you think is the best / your favorite?
This is tough because I haven't played Xenoblade and I haven't played Plague Tale. So I feel like I don't have a fully well-rounded idea, but between Stray, Horizon, and God of War, it's easily God of War, and it's not even close for me.
Right. Yes, absolutely.
That's a great segue to tease that next week I will be recording a huge God of War Ragnarok spoiler cast with friend of the show Cam Hawkins. We're gonna get into it. We're gonna talk about all of our theories, all of our hot takes, this and that. Also, if you want to hear me talk even more about God of War, you can go to friend of the show Joseph and Arsene's show Player Pod. I was a guest on the most recent episode, also a God of War Ragnarok spoiler cast. So if you want to hear all of our thoughts and their thoughts, and we had a really, really fun discussion. So
nice.
Just chatting about a great game. There's a lot to talk about. Some might say, do I need to do another spoiler cast with Cam? Yes, I do. There is a lot to unpack. This is a big-ass game.
Right on. Fair enough. I think I'd probably agree based on those nominees. But of all of the nominees, who would you pick out of all of them?
What's the best game on this whole list?
Yes.
Ooh, jeez.
The best game that didn't win.
That didn't win.
I think we can narrow it down.
That didn't win.
I think I can narrow it down to three. I think
the best game that didn't win, I would say for me, it's recency bias. God of War Ragnarok is definitely in that three for me.
Mm-hmm.
I think
Hades is probably going to take it for me.
I think Hades, probably Hades, God of War, and Persona 5.
There's also Celeste.
And Final Fantasy.
And Final Fantasy VII. For me, it would be, I think my top three would be Final Fantasy VII and Hades and, maybe Persona 5 or maybe, I don't know. I didn't play a whole lot of Death Stranding, but I want to. That was a cool one.
A lot of good games. A lot of good games. Smash Brothers Ultimate's rad. Totally different, out of these.
Yeah.
that's up there, too. Okay. Locking it in. Well, Claire, that was a great discussion.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed all things Game Awards. This year was a fun show overall, though, and I'm very excited to see what comes next, because I think Jeff took a lot of feedback over the last couple years and really set it in motion this year, so I think I'm excited to see it keep improving little by little.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, any closing thoughts?
No.
Video games are cool,
yes.
Y'all. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Some quick housekeeping items for you. Please subscribe to our show on your podcast platform of choice. We are now officially on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. If you enjoy our podcast, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/lukewarmgames for exclusive podcasts. You can go ahead and follow at lukewarmgames on Twitter to get the latest updates on our show. And with that, have a fantastic week. Cheers and happy gaming.